Let's start our service by singing all the verses of hymn 308. Hold on, let me make sure that's right. Maybe it's not. Yeah, 308, yeah.
Good. Good morning, church family. Welcome into the house of the Lord, and good to be here. Good to be here with one another and worship God. As Brother Mike prayed this morning, even though it's kind of gloomy and rainy outside, we've got sun, S-O-N, shining in our hearts. So thankful for that. Welcome to those on Zoom, and welcome to each one who's here. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And that hymn we just sang was so appropriate. God is my song. And if you think about it, God is in our midst right now. And it says in the scripture that he even rejoices over us and finds joy in his people gathering together as we are today to give him honor and glory and praise. So very humbly do we want to bring joy to our Father's heart as he brings joy to ours. Do we have any greetings to extend? Greetings from Hungary. Thank you. Are you heading back for the holidays, or?
Yes, we will.
You will, Lord willing. Okay, well, traveling mercies, of course, with you, and our prayers are always with you, too. So, yeah, Lord bless you.
We spoke to Rose Bensel on the phone, and she wants to be remembered, and she's thankful, because she heard it on the tape once that I said it before, to give greetings from her to the church.
Very good. Yes. Thank you for those greetings from Rose. Anything else? I had occasion to speak with Brother John and Sister Maria Lotrian. They send their greetings here. Also, I spoke with Svetlana Trifu, and she sends her love and greetings here as well as Alan Hansen this past week. So they all send their love and greetings. And as far as updates on medical problems or those we're praying for, we do have an update on little Jacob. And unfortunately, he's had some side effects from his treatments, so they've had to stop the treatments for now so they can concentrate on the side effects, and they're not sure what they're going to do in terms of resuming those treatments. The good news is that the tumors appear to be stable, so let's just continue praying for that dear young man and little boy and his family. I also was curious if anyone knew an update on Ben Schurance's wife, Phoebe. She was in the hospital.
She is better.
She is better? Good. Thank the Lord. Good. Good, good. Any prayer requests anybody is aware of? Any special needs we can be praying about? No? And then also we announced that we were just informed that Brother Ralph Sly Jr. passed away. Pardon? Ralph Sly? Oh, well, the obituary says Jr. I mean, that's what it says on the obituary. maybe so. But his wife, Carol, was a Pavco. You probably know her. And then also, as far as her children, Joey Boca's wife, Elizabeth, was one of his daughters, as well as Martha Weinhardt, and also Karen Calbolero is also a daughter of his. Now, I didn't realize that when I saw this, so keep the family in prayer. They've sustained this loss. Also, we received an email from a brother in North Phoenix who reached out to all of the elders, and he's kind of canvassing all the churches, and he's asking what our outreach efforts are in each of our churches, and he's going to put all of that together. He's responsible for outreach at North Phoenix. And he asked in the email that we let our congregation know about his efforts. So I'm just letting you know. And I responded to him to let him know Brother Mike's our chair and of our outreach committee and what the outreach efforts that we're involved in. So today, any questions on that, Brother Mike?
Speaking of outreach, Mike wants a meeting after lunch for the outreach committee.
Okay, very good. A meeting right after lunch of the outreach committee. Thank you. Good. Today, we'll have a prayer service following lunch. And Wednesday night, we have Bible study. We'll be studying in Acts 19. I wanted to mention something else, and forgive me, this is getting a little bit long, but I don't know how many download podcasts on your smartphones, if you do. And I think we've mentioned this in the past, but the Communications Committee of the Elder Council has now released two episodes on a podcast. And it's really nice. So you might want to download it. If you need help doing that, let me know. But it's called Truth for Our Times. Truth for Our Times. It's which is sponsored by the publishing company. And the two items that are out there are sort of historic from the archives. One article from Ed Baer, Brother Ed Baer, and it's entitled The Need of Repentance, and the other from Ben Summer, Brother Ben Summer, and that's entitled What We Don't Do. And both are really great to listen to. So, again, if you do podcasts, it's called Truth for Our Time. You can get that at Apple or any of the major podcasts what do you call that, a station or something, or whatever you call that. Next Sunday is the day designated for food bank collection. So bring your food items next Sunday so we can take them to the food bank. And I suspect the outreach committee will be discussing Christmas caroling. Is that true? Okay. Good guess. And as we look at the calendar, we're kind of running out of time going into Christmas. If not next week, which would probably be too soon, the following week looks like might be the best. But again, we'll let the committee kind of discuss that and let us know what their thoughts are. And then finally, if you notice, but our December prayer guide and our December calendar are both out. So please grab those. Anything I missed? No? Then let's pray for Brother Philip as he brings us God's word today.
Good morning. Let's start with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your Son who was sent. And we're reminded of this at Christmas time. And throughout all our lives, we should daily be reminded of how you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us, to give us life. Lord, we are so blessed, are so loved and cherished by you to have that done on our behalf. And we thank you. We thank you for prayer requests and loved ones who we can pray for little Jacob, for healing for him, for wisdom for his family on what to do. Pray for Rose. Pray for Mike B and his tooth tomorrow. Pray for many people that are dealing with issues and struggles that you know better than we do. And you can provide in time of need. We thank you for your love and mercy. And we pray now to open our hearts and our minds to our brokenness. We are broken people. And we're broken in all different kind of ways. But we need to realize where our brokenness is, where our issues are, where our problems are, and then not wallow in it and remain there, but seek a solution. And the solution is you, who wants to redeem and restore and make us whole. You've done it, and you want to work in our lives and make us whole. We ask you to open our minds and our hearts to our own brokenness and give us the desire to get out of that brokenness and to be made whole and to be made changed and to be made more and more in your image. We ask this and pray it earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen. Who here gets distracted? They say being easily distracted is perhaps a sign of having ADHD. I say it's a sign of being human, because I think it's just so easy to be distracted by things. And especially in today's day and age, where there's endless distractions to be bombarded with. I don't have my phone with me, it's over there, but that's the chief thing actually to be distracted with. Entertainment and just things that can fill our time with distractions. Today, more than ever. During this Christmas season, we need to be extremely careful of distractions. There's all kinds of advertisements and the ideas of Christmas, the traps of Christmas, when really the season is about God sending His only begotten Son. that his love was showered upon us by sending of Jesus. So just it's not the focus of the message, but distractions, especially at this time, let's be aware of and not fall into them. In speaking and looking at distractions, there's a couple of scriptures I want to look at, and then we'll look at a scripture about how to deal with them. So the first scripture, and you don't have to turn to it because it's really brief, is in the parable of the sower, Jesus' parable of the sower, where a sower went and sowed seeds, and then he gave the different places that the seeds fell and the response to the seed. And then he gave the disciples the explanation thereof. And in Mark 4:18 and 19, he said in the explanation when he was speaking to his disciples, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So what are the distractions here that choke out the response to God's word? Clearly, it's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. All these things are distractions that pull us away from what the word is, what God's word is supposed to be in our hearts. And anything that distracts me, that pulls me away from that, is these things that have an ill effect on the word being useful in my life. Cares of this world is the first one he mentions. A lot of these things are bad, you know, things that are selfish, things that I want for myself to distract me, to make me feel good, to make my mind not think about the pain and the things of this life that are struggles, that are difficult, that pull me away out of this reality to some fanciful reality. Those are bad. Those are problems. Those are not where our minds should be. And those are selfish in nature. The lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, it's all focused on me. But the cares of the world, I mean, I think everyone has cares of this world. That's daily walking in your life. Whatever you do, you have cares. Even Jesus, as he walked on this earth, had cares of the world. He had cares of his family, his mother, his disciples, his ministry. He had cares of the Jewish nation. All these were cares of his. But they didn't overwhelm him, and he wasn't distracted by them. The overwhelming mindset of Christ was to serve the Father, to honor and obey the Father, to do the Lord's will, to do the Father's will. And that oversaw all those cares of this world. And that's how it should be. That honoring and obeying the Father is greater than any cares of this world. Another distraction example is Luke 10. I'll read that now. Luke 10. This is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem and stops at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's place. Starting in verse 38. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's interesting that Jesus says her name twice. Martha, Martha. There's 8 instances in Scripture where someone's name is repeated twice. And I shouldn't tell you that because now you're going to think the rest of the sermon what they are. If they come to mind, good, but don't try to research and try to think what those are. But obviously, when a name is repeated twice by the Lord, it's because something very important is being said. Something really profound that the person needs to grasp and that we need to grasp as well. We look at this text here, and many of us think, Martha had a point. I mean, she invited the most important guest she would ever have into her home, and she had every good intention and right intention to prepare for the Lord and the disciples. But her heart was not quite right. She wanted to present a good presentation to the Lord. She wanted to look good and taste good and serve properly and do the right thing. But Jesus, the one who was the chief guest in it, realized, yeah, food is good. Food's always good. But that's not the chief reason why I'm coming. It's not the chief reason why I'm here. And Martha had to understand that her heart was more concerned with the presentation, with how things worked and that everything worked properly, than being a heart that wanted to know Jesus and be with Jesus and just sit at his feet for learning, as Mary did. And Mary was commended for it. And Martha was kind of, Martha, Martha. This was a distraction. She was distracted by doing things, by working hard. And those things, doing things, working hard, doing a good job, are things that are good. But if they become promoted to a level that they shouldn't be, they're not good anymore. As with anything we do, if it becomes too high of a priority in our lives, then it's become from a good thing, even if it is a good thing. You know, a coat drive is a beautiful thing. But if it's the highest priority that we have, then it's distracting us from what the truth is. Focus on humanitarian things, on good things, on doing good, on maintaining the church and you know, getting the roof fixed and all these things, important things. But if we focus on that, which I'm not saying we do, I'm just saying this as an example, if that's our focus, then we've lost sight of focusing on keeping that relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ as the primary thing that is important in our lives. Even doing good. And often doing good can be problematic in the sense that I'm doing good, Lord. You should appreciate me. You should accept me into your kingdom because I'm doing good. That's not how it works. He accepts us because of his love for us. Not, certainly not because of anything that we do. Our righteousness, our good works, is as filthy rags. He loves us and calls us and redeems us because of His nature, not because of ours. So, distractions can be bad things, selfish motives, ease of life, just wanting my mind to be elsewhere. But it can also be good things. Too motivated, too focused on things that are even good can be a distraction from keeping us where we should be in relation to the Lord. We talked about this morning in 1 Peter, gird up your mind. Prepare your mind. How do we do that? By a focus on the relationship we have with Him, by focus on His Word, absorbing it and having it be integral in our lives. And then we are less likely to have those distractions pull us away and draw us away. So how do we deal with distractions? I'd like to read John 15. John 15, the first 8 verses. John 15. I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples the night before that night He's taken already. But the night before He dies. I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be My disciples. Is it fall or is it still winter right now? Has it changed to winter? It's still fall. Okay. I never know where that changes because it's gotten cold and I think all the leaves have, in fact, fallen by now for the most part. Maybe not. There's a few out there. Who has spent a lot of time here cleaning up fallen leaves this season so far? Unless you have gardeners that do it for you and landscapers. My family spent time this week. They did a great job cleaning my yard. And they just left enough work for me to do yesterday, which I really appreciated because I wanted to be out there and do it. And I finalized the cleaning up. But what if dried leaves stayed on the tree and didn't fall down? If they just stayed there, they died for the winter, but they stayed on the tree. And next year, new leaves came, and it's just a bunch of new leaves and some old leaves. The year after that, eventually the dead leaves, the dried dead leaves would be there and be overgrow the tree rather than the new life that should come every year. We have a mint patch in our backyard, and every year it's just, you know, they come back every year. You don't have to do anything, they just come back. But I was looking this year, because every year I just leave it, and it just comes back. But there's old vines in the old leaves and stuff in there. And so I looked this year, what should you do? And they say, yeah, the good thing to do is cut them all down. Cut them flat, and then all the new stuff will grow, and you won't have new and old mixed together. And I could rake out all the other stuff that's in there. It's made sense. Yesterday I did a bunch of cutting down of plants that regenerate every year, and that are, the leaves are dried up or old, and just cut them to the ground and flat them out. So it looks cleaner, it looks nicer. And next year when the new stuff comes, the old stuff is, and the, you know, when the leaves fall down, they kind of hide in all that old plantage that's there. And it just cleans it all up. Makes it look good now. In fact, I did some that are really still, they look very good and look very lively. But I know from past experience that the new stuff is going to come next year. It's just going to fill and be, you know, some new and some old. And so even though it looked still good, I cut it all down and purged it and cleaned it up. Do we have things in our life that need to be cleaned up, need to be purged, need to be cut down so that new life and new growth can come forth in us? Are there distractions that we have, habits, routines, practices that we become so common occurrence in us? It's just my daily routine. It's just what I do. They're distracting us from our focus on the Lord. I would identify that as a yes for me. And I would guess a yes for you as well. The phone is certainly one of those distractions. I have games on my phone. This morning, I knew that there was a way to look at the time you spent on all the different apps that you have. And not only is there a way to look at the time you spent, but you can restrict. They are a smartphone for a reason. You can restrict the time that you spend in each of these apps. And this morning I looked and I restricted times that I had spent way too much time on and limited it, hopefully with the intention to maybe eventually wean it altogether, but limited the time that I can now spend on some app on my phone. Some of these things are, again, not bad. They're just distractions. They're just time wasters. They're just, we can say, guilty pleasures, or just it's my me time, or you can label it whatever you want. But it's always a distraction that takes us away from our focus on more important things. On God's Word, on my prayer time, on my relationship with the Lord. So we shouldn't make excuses for ourselves and say, well, this is my me time. I encourage you to use that app in your phone that can limit your time on different apps, that the settings that you can restrict in things that you know are, I don't need to be spending so much time doing this, looking at this, reading this. Limit it, because it's not edifying spiritually to ourselves. Why is it important to purge these distractions? Why is it important to purge these things and cleanse them out? in the parable of the sower and in the Jesus' teaching here in John 15, it clearly says why it's important. And it uses the same idea in both. In Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Unfruitful. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As believers in Jesus Christ, as disciples of Jesus, we are called to bear fruit. Does that mean fruits of the Spirit that we read in Galatians 5? Yes. Yes. That should be part of it. But I think as much or even more so, bearing fruit is part of what the Great Commission is talking about. It's interesting. All our favorite verses, Johanna put it in a booklet for me. I don't know if she did it for anyone else, but she did it for me. Maybe they're out there. None of us had the Great Commission as our favorite verses. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is not a calling for ministers. This is not a calling for specific evangelists. This is a calling for all believers. And I am bad at it. Really, really bad. My next door neighbor passed away on Friday. He was our neighbor since we lived in our house. He was a nice, friendly man, kept to himself. His wife died 6 years ago. And I had not had a lot of encounters with him over the years. You know, talking about the lawn once in a while, talking about the trees with the branches, talking about not much else. He would snow blow our sidewalk for us on big snows. I would shovel his sidewalk on small snows. I don't recall specifically ever sharing Jesus with him. To my shame. Perhaps I had years ago, but nothing stands out in my recollection. My next door neighbor, the house right next to me, I've said in the past, it's easy to stand in front of the church and preach the gospel because everyone comes to hear the gospel. They come to hear God's word. I'm preaching to those who've come to hear this truth. Any one of you could come up and do the same. It's not about preaching in front of the church. When I preach in front of the church, my message should be that all of us are preaching to the world. Because they're the ones that need to hear it. We know it. We don't live it, perhaps. We need encouragement to do the right thing, to respond to it, to be His disciples fully. We preach to the choir here. But we should be uplifting each other to be lights in word and in deed to the world around us. Why don't we? This is where we need to look at ourselves and see, why don't we? Look at your heart, look at my heart, and see. I have five reasons here. A lack of belief. We're swayed by the world's belief, the world's ideology that God is all loving and maybe He'll accept anyone who is an honest person, is a good person by the world's standards. Or there are other beliefs, and Jesus is not necessarily the only way. Man, if we succumb to that thinking, then we may know what is right, but the subtleness of it being in the back of our mind and just absorbing that thought is not anything that Scripture has in mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're not making this up, and this is Jesus Himself speaking it, and we have to believe it and understand that no one comes to the Father except through Him. So they need Jesus. How about a lack of faith? I don't believe God can use me to do that. Or I don't believe God is actually going to change them. Why not? Is God has worked every miracle possible, has made Himself come to earth and die for the lost, the world. Why is our faith not that He can use me to give that message? Not that I'm going to change them, of course not. But God can change them. God can change them. God changes people's hearts. But we have to speak the message. Lack of knowledge. So I have lack of belief, lack of faith, lack of knowledge. You know, I can express my belief and my faith to someone who has the same foundational understanding, but starting from scratch, if they don't have that basic foundational understanding, I don't know how to get them to understand that the Bible is God's truth, and that what's in it is their guide for life, and that Jesus is the way. I don't know how to do that. Well, yeah, you don't have to do all that. You have to have the starting point of the conversation. You have to tell them that God loves them, and if they need something that you don't understand, then you look it up and come back to them. Refuse to share for fear that our actions, that our lives, that the way we live will betray what we're saying. I know my life isn't perfect here, so I don't even want to tell them the truth because they're going to see in me, and that'll be worse than if I didn't say anything. No one's life is perfect. We confess our faults before the Lord. And all of us have faults. We're broken people. But there's hope, as we heard this morning, there's hope and victory that can be had through Jesus Christ. And so, be honest. You know, I still struggle with this, and God has restored me thus far and gives me victory and gives me hope. And I know my Redeemer lives and lives within me. And then lastly, lack of love. I just don't care about them, about their eternal destination. Or at least I don't want to think about that because I don't care enough about them. That's pretty bad. And they're different than me. They don't look like me. They don't sound like me. They don't act like me. So different nationality, different whatever. So I just don't love them enough to actually give them the truth of the gospel message. I have listed 5 things. Do any of them hit home to you? Because they hit home to me. And we need to seriously look at our lives and say, what is restricting me? What is my holdup from sharing God's love with the world who needs it so bad? And I, as his child, as the recipient of his love, hold on to it for myself. We need to speak the truth in love. And, you know, one or two of these things may be what your issue is or what my issue is, but it's a combination often of these things, and we need to be honest with it. And how is this corrected? How are these Satan-promoted ideas that may not be in the forefront, maybe subtly in the back of our mind, that affect how we act and how we respond to those around us? It's by drawing closer to Him, by being just in tune with Him and in touch with Him as our Lord, by being in His Word and having it absorb us, being absorbed in it and it absorbed in us, and just be in tune with the Spirit and having Him. A lively relationship. We talked about this morning. A lively relationship with Him, that we would be more and more like Him, because He would never let any of these things affect Him in His relationship with others. The early church was a vibrant, lively church. Many of them knew Jesus personally while He walked, and many didn't as well. But they lived and breathed the truth of God's love, of His love for the lost. And they believed, because they saw it happen, the world can change. The Spirit, God's Spirit, can move and make a difference. I pray we look at ourselves and put away all distractions, purge ourselves of them, and dig into His Word, dig into our relationship with Him, build it and grow it so He would preeminent in our lives And then we would love others. And then we would care for them. And then we would believe that they could be changed. And we believe that our words, as weak as they are, could be useful in His hands. I pray that we would be open to our brokenness and desire for His wholeness to be in us, to be the children, the lights, the salt, the examples that He wants us to be, to speak His truth and not be distracted by our own things, our own thoughts, our own ways, our own riches, our own this, our own that, or even our own good deeds, our own good things, but focused on Him, honoring, serving Him, and letting the world know. Let's conclude by singing hymn 122, verses 1, 5, and 6.
We have been so richly blessed to be able to be here in the house of the Lord and to sit at His feet for learning. And, you know, the many times that Brother Phil referenced the Bible class, it's so wonderful to see the Holy Spirit working together like that in the hearts of the two brothers that brought forth God's Word today. The beautiful integration of both services, Bible class and the preaching service. One thought that I would like to share is that a commonality there between the two is the mind. And when we're distracted, it's because we allow things into the mind that replace are thinking and are meditating upon and our communion with our Lord and Savior. And Paul wrote to the Philippians, it's easy to become, let me digress here a second, but it's easy to become distracted. I was distracted this morning with the morning announcements because, I don't know why I was distracted actually, but the fruit of that distraction was the fact that I was supposed to announce another hymn. We've begun a new practice where we'll sing two hymns in the morning, and I totally forgot about that. I apologize. I was distracted. So we always need to be thinking ahead and being organized in our thought process. But the verse from Philippians I'd like to share to leave us with it speaks to what's in our mind. And it's Philippians 4:7, where 8 rather. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and lovely and are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Paul said, think on these things. And you know what? If we're thinking on those things, we're not likely to be distracted. And we can focus fully upon the praise and adoration and love of our Heavenly Father, to whom He alone is worthy of our praise. Let's all rise and pray. Heavenly Father, how blessed we are and how joyful we are in our hearts at this very moment, at the conclusion of this service, to know that we've been in Thy presence. We prayed that at the very beginning of this day, and we have been assured of Thy presence here with us today. That the Lord God Almighty, majestically sitting upon His throne in the heavens above, would look down upon us with favor, and that He would favor us with His presence and with the pouring out of Thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of each one gathered here. And that we could, Lord, commune with Thee in this day and think upon those things that are eternal, and that we could remove ourselves from the distractions of our everyday life. And we've been encouraged, Lord, yea, exhorted, Lord, that we might think upon those things that draw us unto Thee and away from those distractions that the evil one may want to bring into our lives. Certainly there is much to think about in our everyday life. And even as we've heard, many concerns as we walk this path of life together. But, Lord, we can do so through a perspective where we look to You to take those burdens from us, that we cast our cares upon You, because as the Scripture says, You care for us. And, oh, Lord, how humbling it is to think about the fact that You, Lord God, majestic in the sky, in the heavens above, care about us. But You're also Abba Father because of what Jesus did upon the cross, shedding His precious blood, dying for us a death that we should have died, carrying upon Himself our sins, but yet rising again victoriously over death so that we could live forever with Thee. And because of that act upon the cross, that selfless act of our Savior, we can come before Thee as our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name, Abba Father. So we thank You, Lord, for being with us, teaching us today, for the opportunity of spending this time together in fellowship one with another. And we just pray that You would be glorified, honored, and praised by it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.